What kind of insurance is right for me? Am I covered properly? What is a personal umbrella? Can I rebuild my house if it burns? Welcome to Peace of Mind, the radio show that helps you navigate through the complexities of the world of insurance. Brought to you by More Insurance Services, Mountain Insurance in Murphy and Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. And now your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore.
My name is Mark Moore with More Insurance and Mountain Insurance. We are back on another show today for Peace of Mind. Here with my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And also we have our, I guess we call our IT consultant, is Jacob Anderson with Boaz Media and Network Solutions. So say hello.
Welcome.
So,
yeah, Jacob. It's good to be on.
Yeah, so Jacob handles all of our computer systems for More Insurance, Mountain Insurance. And this is, I'm just not smart enough to know what to do. I'm a user of computers, and I don't understand how they work. It's like magic to me. I don't understand how a Wi-Fi goes through the air and runs a computer, and so I have to rely on Jacob to be able to explain these things to me.
You just use it, that's all.
I'm a user of computers,
that's
yeah.
That's right.
So we were working on some insurance-related things, I guess it was last year, and Jacob and I started in a conversation about all the things he has to deal with. And the two worlds kind of meshed. It's almost like, okay, he's trying to protect networks, trying to protect people from scams and obviously running networks. And we're selling insurance or providing insurance for these types of risk as well. It's called cyber liability insurance.
Yes.
And this market is changing so fast. And I feel very antiquated to some extent because everything's happening at the speed of light when it comes to technology. And I feel that we are kind of like we're using yesterday's technology for tomorrow. Like we're
right.
behind the game.
Right.
So the insurance industry is trying to catch up to this. There's always a new scam. And I'm trying to learn about what can happen to a person. You know, we have cyber liability insurance that we sell to commercial businesses. We have businesses that handle transactions such as, you know, credit cards, debit cards. Our office handles sensitive information like dates of birth, social security numbers.
As well as take payments as well.
Payments right. processing. So all this has to be protected. And I was asking Jacob at the office, and I'm kind of learning as we go, but tell us what a phishing scam is, Jacob. What happens when somebody's trying to scam you?
So that's the largest attack surface that anyone gets scammed with. That's an email, or it could be a text message sent, and it looks legitimate. It looks like, hey, your password is expiring, something like that. Click here to reset. You hit the reset button. Usually it prompts for enter your password, your current password. You put it in, click OK, type in your quote-unquote new password, and you're done.
They've got you.
That hacker has your password.
So I think on an email phishing scam, I was at a place of business this past year, and they had advised me that one of their customers had just paid a fraudulent $3,500 bill, and it was wired out to a fraudulent place. I think what happens is, and I think we talked about this before, they're using even artificial intelligence, AI, to sift their emails and find some kind of wiring instructions or kind of transactions, and then they'll change it, and it'll look legit. In this case here, the people had thought they were getting a legitimate bill from a business, and they ended up wiring out the money to a fraudster. So how does that work?
Yep, so that's very common. We've run into that actually 5 or 6 times last year, where a lot of times it's not necessarily the business. So in your case, it wouldn't be you getting hacked. It would be your vendor or something like that gets hacked, and they're sitting there reading emails with AI, like you mentioned, waiting for the perfect opportunity to say, oh, this person is changing an address or this person is doing whatever the case. Let me intercept, and it's like domain or email hijacking. They'll spoof up they'll spin up a domain name very similar, forward all the emails, and now all of a sudden you're emailing the hacker, not the intended recipient. So
it looks the same, like it'll be a little bit tweaked, a little bit different, like they'll make a change.
So like in your case, like the Mountain Insurance or mountain-insurance.com might be with mountains-insurance.com.
Okay.
Things of that nature. So it's a domain lookalike. It looks very similar, but it's not them. once again, somehow the account has to get compromised to begin with, and that's what we do. We try to prevent that with our security measures, but that's how that works.
So what tips would you give people and how to, I mean, to pay attention to how, what would you say to be the best way to avoid some of this?
Yeah, always look for, always make sure you're actually emailing the person who you are, you think you're emailing. Usually in those type of scams, there's some type of urgency. So once that interception of communication happens, there's a, hey, we need to do this today. Hey, we need to have 24 hours to do this or something like that. So those types of things, keywords, pick up the phone and call. Call that person that you know that you, or that you think you're emailing and confirm that information.
I bought a building last year and we had to wire money and they wouldn't accept a cashier's check or anything at the attorney's office. Like it has to be a wire transfer now.
Yeah.
And we had to call them and they had to give us a password for us to be able to verify
it was, really
it was legit
intense.
Ones.
I was surprised. Yeah. Cause, I mean, I guess we haven't bought any property in a long time.
Yeah. I thought he was taking my
cashier's
check.
So we're like,
check,
we'll just give a cashier's check. So we're like, what do you mean you won't take it? So that was something that was very...
Yeah, so that's, it's almost like a two-factor. Like
yeah.
You do with your phone. You know, you log in, now you get a text with a code.
Right.
Some banks and financial and lawyer offices are taking that same approach, but with your money, which is
right.
smart. That's
right.
What needs to be done is, hey, yeah, we know you're giving us money, but we need to initiate the wire transfer. Then they give you this code. It's a two-factor. Is this mm-hmm. real transfer?
Right.
Do they have authentication to access this money? And so on and so forth.
Well, that was my next question, actually, about what is a multi-factor authentication, I guess I should say. So,
yep. So multi-factor is, or two-factor is anything requiring two authentication methods. So you go to your login page, type in your password, and then it says, hey, we're going to text you a one-time code. And then it texts you to your cell phone or whatever.
Or they'll email you as well.
Or email you a code or something like that.
So that's probably cut down quite a bit on fraud, I would think.
Yeah, that is the number one single easiest thing to do for any account, not just your email, not just your bank, but, you know, your insurance logins, anything of that has two-factor, the ability to do that, turn it on. That cuts down on, I think the statistic is somewhere like 60% of the attack surface.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I got a call just a couple weeks ago about, I don't answer my phone unless I know it is, but they left a message and it was like a recording where I had ordered a $900 set of headphones and they wondered if I wanted to cancel the order. So that has to be some kind of scam. I think, what are they trying to do to me, you think, that situation?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways that happens. They'll either try to refund you the money, but you type in your bank account information and then they end up taking it.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. There's four or five different ways. Or they'll try to refund you on like a Green Dot card or something like that. And you pay them the money. There's still some, it's skeptical, you know.
Right.
So always say take the common sense approach. Like if it sounds weird, it probably isn't real.
Or if it's too good to be true.
If it's too good, if somebody emails you, hey,
it's,
you need $10,000 from
I
want
to
prints.
Call them back and say, hey, yeah, I want those $900 headphones. What do you, don't cancel.
Yeah,
you know, whatever
yeah,
you do.
Yeah,
yeah. Send me some more.
Yeah, send me those, yeah.
Yeah.
I watch, this scammer payback on the internet sometimes, this guy named Pierogi, and I think he, like, dyes his hair blue because he's only recognizes in certain areas.
Yeah.
And he can speak the language of the scammers, and so it seems like they'll always, and he can imitate voices like an elderly person, and he'll always, it seems like the scam is they'll try to get access to his bank account, and once they get in there, they'll transfer money over from a savings account, so it looks like you did get a refund, then they make you feel that you made a mistake, and they need to be paid back because you had one too many zeros
yeah.
And now you've got to go to and get Google Play cards, where that is, and then send it to the scammer.
Yeah.
So... I guess, how does that work with, these things are not traceable, I guess, so when you pay somebody
yeah,
through
cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
so that's why they try to go
or,
through the crypto or the play card. They're trying to get it where it's not easily tracked. So once it goes into that crypto or you buy them a bunch of Google gift cards and send them the code or whatever, it's very tough to track that.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to wrap up our first segment here. We're very pleased to have Jacob Anderson here with Boaz Media and Network Solutions. We're talking about scams and how, you know, we insure those and how to prevent you from becoming a victim of a scam or phishing or even now they've got the romance scam, I think, out there as well. So anyway, we'll talk more about that after the break. And my name is Mark Moore. We're on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind, here to help you find out if you need more insurance. Once again, your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore with More Insurance.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Moore with my husband, Mark Moore, and our special guest, Jacob Anderson.
Hey.
We want to let you know where we're located. We have five locations. Three of them are called More Insurance Services, Inc. We're located in Blairsville, Georgia, across from Home Depot and next to the post office there in the South State Bank building. We're not part of the bank, but we're in a separate wing of the bank, so come by and see us there for your insurance needs. Our second location for More Insurance Services, Inc. is in Hiawassee, Georgia, or located at 150 South Main Street, Suite C there in the Town Trace building, which is the red brick building next to the hospital there on the main street. Please check us out there. And lastly, our last location for More Insurance Services is located in Hayesville, North Carolina at 157 Highway 64 West, right next to United Community Bank, and that's our main hub. So come by and see us there for your insurance needs there in Hayesville as well. Then we have another location called Mountain Insurance. It is a division of More Insurance in Murphy, North Carolina. We're also on Highway 64 there as well, but you can go right past the Arby's and the So Goods restaurant there on the left. We're right there. Come by and see us at Mountain Insurance there. And then our last location is called Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge, located in Blue Ridge, Georgia. It's also a division of More Insurance. We're right between United Community Bank and Burger King. So come by and see us there for your insurance needs. You can also check us out on our website, which is www.more-insurance.com. And, of course, you can like us on Facebook.
Okay. So thank you, Jacob, for coming today.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. You
know, we're talking about during the break about different kind of scams out there. One I didn't know what a catfish was or a romance scam. That's even something you get on your email these days, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody see that happen, but sometimes they'll pose as a potential, I guess, love interest, and they're taking your money while they're doing it. It may not be the same person they present themselves as. Right. So there used to be a saying, I saw, this is going back a long time ago, that to err is human, but to really mess things up requires a computer. Now, that's kind of changed now, because it used to be like you're typing your paper and all of a sudden you hit the wrong button and everything deletes. And now there's protections there. We don't have that happen. But you could really mess yourself up by engaging with somebody on the internet that you don't know that's trying to scam you.
Yeah.
And we're trying to protect our different businesses with this situation, because we sell what's called cyber liability insurance, where perhaps somebody has redirected a wire transfer. And what we didn't talk about before the break was what happens. Tell us about a malware or what happens when somebody like goes to your computer and has a ransom that you've got to pay.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
How does that work?
So we'll hit the ransomware, because I think a lot of people have heard that term and kind of know what it is. So ransomware, it locks your files down. It takes your files, data as ransom, encrypts it, and then asks for some kind of payment in return to release that data. We've dealt with this a lot. We've seen small businesses get hit hard. You know, they think they have a backup. Then when something happens like this, they go to restore, and then that backup hasn't worked in 6 months or a year. And they're, you know, that's a big hit for a small business.
Yeah. So they're kind of sneaky. Like you would think, well, I'll just go back to yesterday and I entered in a couple of things, no big deal. But I think the malware, is it called malware? It sits on your computer for a long time.
It can,
and it takes the opportune time, like maybe it's been there for 6 months, and all of a sudden, now you're not looking back just a day or hours. You're looking back at the data you could restore might be 6 months old, which is not useful anymore.
Yeah, correct.
Is that right?
Yeah, so it can sit there for a lot of times, months. So you don't know when exactly a user clicked on something, downloaded something, and it's just set there. And then they have a time bomb, and then one day it just starts encrypting. And used to, you could back stuff up, and it wasn't critical if you had backups. But what they're doing now is taking your data, putting it on the dark web, and selling it. So now all of a sudden, a lot of people have, like, password lists and stuff in plain text format all of that is on the dark web for sale. And that's what they do. We've seen it. We've went there. We've looked at people's data that you can just buy.
So wow, what is the dark web? I don't know what dark web is. I
mean, so dark web is, not to get too technical, website's not published. So you have to have special VPNs, a special browser to get to those. And you go on there and there's websites where you can just sit there and scroll and what do you want to buy today?
Is it untraceable kind of thing? Is that why it's dark web? It's
like, yeah, I mean, there is a way to trace some of it, but yeah, a lot of it is not really traceable.
And it could be in Nigeria. It could be anywhere
in
the world.
Yeah, these are servers all around the world.
Wow.
That's holding this information, and you as a, you know, this is a organized crime, but they go in there and buy people's social security numbers and things of that nature, or password lists. So when a small business gets hit, gets their data taken for ransom, it's not just the, hey, let's just restore from a backup. Well, now all of your data is on the dark web and they're selling it. Even if you pay them the ransom, they're not taking it down.
So what kind of, and this has to do with insurance too, you know, with cyber liability insurance will actually pay some of these ransoms to get your data back.
Yeah.
Did you see anybody had to make a payment to get data back, or how did
so,
it work?
Yeah, we've seen ranges from $1,000 to about $14,000 for a business to have to pay. And a lot of times, and you can speak to this more, if the cyber insurance or if that company has cyber insurance, they may not get actually payment because they're going to go in and do an audit. Well, how did this happen? And if they see you don't have any kind of email protection or endpoint protection, you know, for your workstations and servers or any kind of protection in place, when you said on the cybersecurity form, yeah, we're doing all the right things, they're probably not going to pay you anything. So that, right, that company's having to fork all that money.
You worry
out of
about that. You know, there's the company that, we just changed our cyber insurance over to another company January 1, and they're going to do like a risk assessment for us. And I guess they scan the dark web, how they do that, and they try to look at our business and see what's out there. But it's just like you feel like average person that's a user is going to see an email and could potentially open up something they shouldn't.
Sure.
And Jacob's getting ready to set up for our office. There's going to be like a kind of a gotcha kind of thing. He's going to send like a fake email to see if any of my people would open up something. Would it fool them to open up something? And then he'll come back and say, hey, you shouldn't open this email, and here's why. And so.
But I think people get busy, or they're just trying to do their job, and they're not really always paying attention probably. Maybe they're multitasking and doing several things at one time, and they're not really thinking about it, and they're just getting themselves in a situation. Or if it's not the employee, it's affecting the employer because they're making not good choices in that respect. So I think we just have to be careful about
called security awareness training, which is what we're going to, so that's the, it's excellent. It's required by some government and things like banks and stuff, I think, are supposed to be doing that. But it's becoming a check mark on the cybersecurity insurance. Like, does your business participate in any kind of security awareness?
Right.
And that's the controlled phishing emails that get sent out, and then it lets you, you know, as a business owner, know, hey, are my employees trained? Because you know that some of that responsibility is on the owner.
Right.
Hey, let's train them not to click on these types
of
things.
Exactly.
Well, it's just like, it's just alarming about how people can do this. And I guess they're making multiple ways they can make money off of it, like, you know, redirecting a wire transfer, or, you know, stealing your identity or selling your identity to a third party. And, you know, the only thing I know of, you know, we do have the LifeLock, where if somebody steals our identity, they're supposed to be able to help prevent things and mitigate things. Yeah. We do sell insurance endorsement on that, which you can get for identity theft coverage on
your
policy.
On our carriers, certain carriers will have that for homeowners policies, yes. But
it's an idea. I mean, I'm not necessarily excited about that. I mean, I guess it's better to have something than nothing.
Right.
Also, you know, if you had a network got compromised and sensitive information were taken off your network, the insurance company will pay to notify the customers of the data breach and also provide them with, I guess, credit monitoring for a period of time. I feel like I'm getting the letters all the time where somebody's saying, oh, our data got compromised and you can sign up for, we'll let you know about it. And if you want to sign up for credit monitoring or whatever, here, you know, fill out this information. Yeah. But I'm like, is this a scam?
You know? Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, I mean,
is that a scam too? Yeah, that's pretty concerning.
They sound really realistic. And, you know, I've seen people just, you know, you'll see on TV where somebody's got scammed and it looked legit, it sounded legit. I don't know, I mean, I don't want to be like, would I fall for this? I mean, it's possible. I don't know. But I mean, a lot of people could fall for these scams because they look legit on the face value.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for coming today, Jacob, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Like I said, I feel so inadequate to think about how all this stuff works. It's just the criminals are very smart. They could be making a legitimate living doing something else with all the information they have to know to be able to do these scams. You know, it's a shame that people don't just do something legit. You know, anyway, we'll be back in another week. And again, thanks for Jacob and Kathy talking about this with us today. And we will be back next week on Peace of Mind on WGRB Talk of the Mountains.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.